And you can do that if you want. So this is tailor-made, and it's interesting that lately the message that God gives me are things that I need to hear. For you out there that preach, I don't know if that happens to you, but I find it interesting. That's the case a lot. And it also happens tonight that I'm going to preach on something that I'm preaching about. And hopefully none of you are getting tired of this. But once again, God put it in my heart to speak about that word that begins with T, that we all love so much, and it's called trials and tribulations. Because as I look around me, I see it. I see it in coworkers, I see it in family, I see it in friends, I see it on the news, I see it absolutely everywhere. It's funny, I'm driving down Route 50, and you look at the plazas, look at the cars going by, and you can easily say to yourself, everything's going all right. To me, it's like a big facade of normalcy. But behind those doors, in those cars, who knows what's going on in the lives of people. And the more I interact with people, especially at work, the more I see that it is just crazy town out there. And I'm not trying to stun anybody. I mean, there's hurt and pain and temptation. It's all around us. But so trials going on, but how we handle them as beliefs is a really, really big deal. Really big deal. It's a big deal to face a trial, but it's a really big deal on how we, as followers of Christ, to others, new followers of Christ, how we handle that. And that's something that God is pressing on me big time over the last few years. And thank goodness we have God's word. And thank goodness in God's word, we have many stories of people who confessed Christ, people pre-Christ, I mean the whole gamut, that believed in God and handled trials in various ways. But we have their examples to learn from and be inspired from. And one of those really super inspiring examples is in Daniel 3. So if you guys want to turn there, I'll just be walking through these verses, and there's a ton I could say. So hopefully I can flap my guns fast enough and get through this half hour, maybe a little bit more. Let's see how it goes. All right, so Daniel 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of in the province of Babylon. If you were a Jew living back then, and you caught wind of this, you were probably saying to yourself, this doesn't sound good. This really doesn't sound good. This pagan king is setting up some kind of image of some kind. I don't think we're heading in a good direction here. And I just want to say, as a side note, that I think we as Christians in America, we're starting to get a really, really good taste of what it's like to live under crazy God government. And I know we could make the argument, sure, that America has had crazy godless politicians and whatnot not for a while, and crazy godless policies for a while. But in my opinion, it's really only been since around 2000 where you could see America as a culture beginning to try and purposelessly rip itself away from the moorings of a Judeo-Christian culture. You could see it. I remember back then starting it. But now it's open, it's blatant. I mean, people are literally saying that you believe in God is stupid, but believing that men can have bees is wisdom. I mean, have we unglued ourselves from those things or what? So what we have in common right now, I would say, even though it might sound crazy, is that they were living in a totally godless society, because there's only one God. And we are now in a society that's actively pursuing godlessness, wants nothing to do with God. And honestly, too, this is just me as a history geek. What I see a lot of the time in a frighteningly large segment of the American population right now, especially those under 40, and especially those who are in leadership positions in some, it's the same kind of crazy you saw in these of people in Germany in the 30s, the Cultural Revolution in 1917, and I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody. It's just me. I'm just looking at historical tea leaves. I see some crazy. That sounds like a lot of that crazy. I'm not saying it's the same thing, but I'm seeing like little semblances of similarity as far as the level of crazy goes and the wave thing. So again, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but these guys were in a tough spot, and we as Christians should be preparing ourselves to go into a tight spot. This is the time to get closer to God. When you catch whiff of a trial on a national level or in your own life, that's a good time to again look in the mirror and say, where are Jesus and I at? That's a really big deal. Right now, I think we can glean a lot from the past and the president. There's another country that's gone through things. Believers in Scripture that have gone through things. All right, moving on. Verse 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar, king, sent to gather the princes, governors, the captain, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image Nebuchadnezzar had set up. All right, so this is bad news. This is definitely bad news. They were getting a feeling that bad news was coming, and here it is. This is the bad news thing that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Everybody's going to show up where this thing is being set up. If I was a Jew and planted this time, I'd be saying, this is bad news. This is not going to be good. For each of us, and again, I'm not trying to scare anybody. You guys all know this. I mean, you're here on a Wednesday night. You're at church. You guys are, for the most part, you know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? But it's good to hear it again. That old Christianese phrase, you're either in a trial, kind of a trial, or about to go into a trial. We had that experience where we heard bad news for the first time. It shook us just a little bit. Then we immediately went to some kind of mode of handling, dealing with. Again, this is a good time to ask yourself, well, before that even happens, like right now, if no one in here is in a trial, and you're in that beautiful, wonderful period, everything's puppy dogs, dogs and lollipops, now's a good time to ask yourself, am I putting down deep root with Christ? Because that's coming back around. One day, you're going to be minding your business, and all of a sudden, the phone rings, and you're like, what? You get that text, and it's going to shake you. I don't know what it's going to be. Health, family, finance. Are you putting down on roots to handle it when that storm comes? A guy with a weird name, named Publius, an old Roman guy, he said that in times of peace, prepare for war. I think you can apply that spiritually. Years ago, as a naive young Christian who wasn't super strong, it was easy for me to run around and just act like everything was hunky-dory and good times. All I wanted was good times. And when hard times came, this crumble, like sand on a seashore. Easy, because I was not putting down deep roots. So bad news is coming. It is. I don't mean the bearer of bad news about bad news. But it is coming back around. And those of you who are in it right now, doing a trial, you're like, yep, it is. So I challenge you right now, if you're not in one, you just come out of one, and you're still basking in the glow, oh, that's over. Prepare for war. Prepare. You and Jesus, like this. Start digging in deep right now. Next verses. So the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then Herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages. At that time, when ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, I just want to say, I note, what in the world? What in the world is this thing, and how do you say it? So when you read through this chapter, it pops up like everywhere. So I was like, I have to look this up. So I went to good old Strong's, and apparently the way you pronounce this is Sawbeck. So that's what I'm going to try to spit out. And for you geeks out there, it is apparently triangle with strings, much like a lyre. So just throwing that out there. If I stumble over this thing, it could happen again. You might see it again. Psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down, worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. The next level of bad news. So you get inkling that bad news is coming. And then you get that text or whatever. You're like, this is bad. But I got this. I can handle this, right? Yeah. Here we go. And then, again, when you expect it, that trial that's already connected to you, stop a few notches, and your mind's being blown. And at that moment, yourself, this is getting crazy. And here's one of the awesome, getting sarcasmistic here, one of those other awesome times in life when, thank God, the sweet by and by, we'll never experience this feeling ever again. But have you ever been in that situation? And I know you have. Where you're in a trial, it's already bad, you're struggling with it, you're trying to figure out how you're going to deal with it. You'll notice all the yous I'm using. And then that thing happens, steps it up a notch, and you see it gets through your fingers. And that moment where you realize, I can't, I'm losing it. I can't handle this. What am I going to do? That is a crucial moment. That's the moment where if you're putting down roots, and this isn't a guilt trip, this is misfire. If you're putting down roots with this, that's when, and in that moment, you're panicking. You're like, I'm going to lose her. Something's going to happen. We're going to go broke. We're going to lose whatever it is. Where all the anxieties come on top of you, and then all of a sudden, like a cool breeze on a hot summer day, you hear that voice say, reach out. You know who it is. So instead of getting out for the next 8 hours and not sleeping, instead of running out to Quickie Mart, find your favorite beverage of choice, whatever other vice that you're going to slip into when it gets tough. Maybe for the first time in your life, you hear the sweet words of Jesus saying, I got it. In that moment, you say, yeah, you do. And when you feel it spin out, you know whose hands it's slipping into and whose hands it's been in all the time. When you start to feel like you're losing control in your life, in your situation, whatever trial or fire furnace, because this is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to, let me tell you that you're actually in a really good spot. It's one of the best moments of my life that has borne unbelievable fruit in this guy. It's back in 2018 when I was dealing with some trials, some newer ones, a couple old ones that just keep nipping at heels like one of those tiny dogs. It just follows you around through life. And I got to, speaking of dogs, I was surrounded by dogs because that's when I was taking care of. Sitting in a chair, surrounded by doodle, because everyone in Manhattan buys a doodle. And they ship it up to us. We had to watch it. So looking out a window, and I just said, God, I can't handle these things anymore. I give up. And in that moment, I was talking about giving up on him. I finally reached the point in the life of this stubborn Irish mule man's life where I was ready to say, all right, Jesus, you help these things. Because I can't do it anymore. And there's a beautiful place to be when you just let go and let God. Again, another Christianese saying, but there's truth in it. I couldn't even sit here and explain to you how it actually all played out after that, but I can tell you something changed in my life that day, because something inside truly did break. And I was like, I'm done. White egg. I can't do it anymore. If you come to that place, great. And it can be a scary place to come back to, because sometimes in trials, you're reminded of that. Dave, remember, you surrendered before. You got to let Jesus handle this. And of course, my first reaction, even though I know better, it's like, no, I got to figure this out, because I feel better. I'm in charge. No. Let Jesus hit. In that moment, I picture Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll probably just say SMA from now on. That's a mouthful. You know, they're there. So far, we don't know how these guys are handling this in their private moments between each other. Are they stressed? Are they freaked out? Oh no! But we know they're there at this assembly, and you got to wonder about that. But at this point, I figure the Shadrach's like, it's got to be a back door to this place. Can I get out? You know, maybe I'll ask that guard over there. I got to use the men's room. You know, how do I slip out? A lot of times we get tempted to bail on our trials. Say, I know this is going on here. I feel like men are really, really good at this. I don't know. Could be wrong. But that's going on. But I'm going to go over here and just me, the house is burning down. And I'm just going to do it. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go either were there or were there. But they didn't bail. We were not told that they tried to bail. We now know what's coming. And they're there. And they're with it. That's a great example. That is a really great example. I feel like since scripture, one of the great things about Christianity, the Bible airs a dirty laundry. The religion, you notice in the Quran, you're never going to see like Muhammad busted on it or anything. You know, you're not going to hear a lot of his faults or like that. But we know that there's other parts of the Bible where we know where people mess up. I feel like if Shadrach had tried to snuck out the back, we would have read about it. And then there were only two, you know. But they're there. The child's there. They're they handle it. And that's inspiring to me, trying to weasel their way out of the situation. But it's as if that wasn't enough. The trial's about to get hotter. No pun intended. Therefore, at that time, when all people heard this, the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, salbeka, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages just fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the cornet, flute, harp, saka, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso fall not down and worshipeth, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not guarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Talk of moving up in notches. This just got way worse. And you guys must this too. When you're in the midst of a trial, things are really, really hard. You don't know how to handle it. And you're freaking out, going through that struggle. Like, I want to control this thing. I know I need to let it go to Jesus. Who comes marching in to make things worse but human being? Ever had that happen to you? When an uncle comes in with well-meaning advice, or that crazy guy at work, oh, if you're crazy, he says, what's wrong with you today? Yeah, you name it. But there's people that go even further that try to make it worse. They try to stir the pot a little bit. Now, it's really, really easy. Here's a test and a trial. It's really easy for believers, because we're human beings, we're flesh and blood, to turn to those people and be like, you know, and come at them. Because you're already under stress. And we are human, so that can happen. And all of a sudden, that person was the last straw today, and you just use it, whatever. But I think in general, even though that can be really tough to handle, I think when you examine some scripture, I think in that moment, even as it was in trials, again, this is why you need to put your down. If you're looking to the eyes of that person, you don't know what's going on in their life. And more and more, as I listen, especially at work, and I almost had a guy from work come in, so this would have had to drop all these examples. Trust you guys. Especially at work, at one of my jobs, what I see now, clear as day, and it's easy for me because none of these people doing anything to me. But we got a world full of hurt people, full of hurting people, and it's a vicious cycle. It just keeps going this. And every now and then, them's going to try to reach out and pull you into the vicious cycle and get you caught up in that. And in that moment, if your roots don't go down with deep Christ, and you're already dealing with this crazy, and someone comes in to jab you and make it worse, it's going to be really, really easy to throw back and throw down at them. We shouldn't do that. In this example, we don't see SMA turning around and chewing these guys out. Now, they might have been too petrified, but we don't see that. I got to be honest. For me, I really, really be battling cynicism over the past few years. Really battling it. Every now and then, I joke with my wife, hey, you want to just move up on a mountain, you know, raise some animals, just watch the whole thing burn? I'll be honest. That comes out of my mouth sometimes. It does. Because people, and this hasn't been any in past times of my life, and lately, I don't know what it is, and this season of life, as I see the world getting crazier, there is a part in my flesh that's just like, this is bonkers. I want nothing to do with this. I see why in the Middle Ages people head to monasteries, left it all behind. I get it. I'm not saying I agree with that. I mean, I think there might be an argument there, but to preserve knowledge and, you know, things like that, but I really wrestle with that. But I know for sure that I don't want to become a cynic and then become part of the hurting people. Like, I don't want to do that, even in a trial. So we treat them when people come ask to make situations worse. Another one of those parts of the Bible where we sometimes wasn't there, but Galatians 14 says, law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is another reason you may right now, because you may be in a trial, you may be saying, I got to deal with this, and I do that. When someone's coming at me, you know, he's driving me bonkers on social media. It seems like he's on where I am. And whenever I try to post something, he's like, you know, putting garbage back at you. That's another reason why in good times, times, peace, prepare for, put your roots down with Christ now. Start doing it now, even if you're in a trial, especially if trial. So when the trial comes at you, all these different things are coming at you from all angles. You can handle it well and represent your Father in heaven well. And, oh, you're in the thick of it right now. This may sound gargantuan to you. I don't know if I can do that. I'm just right now. And remember, Jesus doesn't require perfection. He took care of all that on the cross. But this is a goal set for us to try and... And let me tell you, experience, you're never going to be able to do it. Get more and more and more tight with Jesus Christ over time. All right, next. Sitchin's looking grim for these guys. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men to the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "True, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if you be ready at what time ye hear the sound of the flute, harp, zabeka, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Wow. I can't wrap my mind around being in their shoes right now. I think of the worst trial that I have faced. I've never had arguably the most powerful human being at that time on the planet look me in the eyes and say, "Do I say or die?" I can't imagine that. In Nebuchadnezzar right now, I see the world system represented. And the world system is going to present for us, just a hunch here, reading the tea leaves. I think the world system is going to continue to present us really, really crazy trials out there over the next who knows how long. They're going to make it situations, just natural things of life, finances, you name it. I have a feeling it's going to get hot in the kitchen for us as Christians. About half of society is ambivalent or anti-God. All of the power and influence right now in this country are overwhelmingly anti-God, putting themselves against God. And you can see that in Nebuchadnezzar. You can see the anger of a government or a leader or something there set against God. I mean, we're talking about pulling people and throwing them alive into a furnace. That's hard. Where does that go? That's like straight from itself. Straight from the devil itself. You know, even in Judeo-Christian society, which I know has messed ton over the course of history, there were certain levels of, corporal punishment just didn't go to. You know what I mean? And once you take the governor off out of a society, who knows where that goes? And in Ezra, I see I represent the world system that's just like I'm going to make you suffer for obeying God. And so again, to me, these verses right here, Christians, let's pray. I'm not saying the United States is going to turn into this overnight, but this is a good example for us to be ready. When the system becomes, in fact, I even came here. I saw a video. It's on a website called Rebel News. Watch if you dare. But it's a video. Police showing up a pastor in Canada, and dragging him away because he held a church service, and his kids are wailing and crying, and it's a heartbreaker. The first minute of the video is just to watch, and they're putting him in the car. The kids are reaching out to the bars, and I mean, it's just. It really broke me up. But it's Canada. He's going to jail for preaching. Let's be real. Now, here comes the inspiration. And it's a Mack truck. If you're not inspired by these verses, man, I don't know what'll do it for you. So after hearing all that, and remember, Nebuchadnezzar's pretty cocky right before 16 hits. Who is this God that's going to save you from my hands? Here we go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, "King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve will to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Woo! that is awesome. They're in the crucible. They're being tested to their limit. And when push came up, when everything was on the line, these guys said what needed to be said, and they took the stand that they needed to take. I keep repeating myself, but yeah, sure. In that moment, God could inspire anyone, from the guy who just got saved ago to the guy backslidden for 10 years. But I still go back to the fact that there's no way that three guys were just hanging out every weekend and watching Babylon Netflix all weekend. I mean, whatever that looked like. These guys were investing in God on a regular basis. They were tight, because to be able to do that pressure cooker, that takes a lot, takes roots. Anyone in here who's married? You know, when it gets tough, if you and your spouse relationship this deep, good luck. But if you've been putting down roots over the years, especially with him, whoever you're married to, yes, you can make it through. And this is one of the moments. The pressure is on. I think their response is absolutely epic. Yes, the roots need to go down deep for this moment. Remember what Joshua said, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. You got a purpose not just for your house, your marriage, but you as an individual. Who are you in for? You may have another 50 years on the net. You may have 10 days. Who you live for in that time? Don't put that off. Don't do it half-hearted either. If you're going to live for, do it. And ask them what you do. Here's another thing that's super interesting. I don't mean to stun anyone. But when I look in this church, and when I look around just about every church that I go in, visit or whatever, there is, I actually find this super inspiring here from here, but it's going to sound bad at first. Where are all the 15 to 30-year-olds? You're here. I'm inspired by you being here. These are young men. From everything I read and researching this, these guys are an old, salty veterans who are the best parts of their life have passed them by, and they're like, I'm 50 anyway. You know, I'm not around. I had my 20s, and it's good. You know, no. What I had, these guys could be late teens, early 20s. You guys noticed that young people are dropping like flies from the church? Like flies. The Barner says that well over 50% they get to college, they're gone. And so when I go to church and I see someone under 30 in church, I'm like, yes, that is some. That's super fired up. There are ladies all look under 40. Yeah, I'm just going out there and I'm saying there's not a lot. Hey, and Rob, you haven't hit the bingo yet, I don't think. And you're in church. 29. All right, yeah. There's another one. And Caitlin, okay. All right, so we got some in here. That's 15 to 20-year-old. I mean, 15 to 30. They're falling out. So the fact that these guys are young men, isn't that inspiring? Three young guys sitting there with their life on the line. Oh, I could have had a future doing this and the other thing, but no, I'm standing for Jesus right now. That fires me up. That really fires me up. And like, it fires me up to see people in that age group in church doing stuff. When they say no need to care or answer, I had to look that up a little bit. That's not them being necessarily like argumentative, respectful. They're saying they don't really need to answer, know what they're going to do, but they're going to go ahead and say something anyway. Or some other commentators, they really didn't need to have a powwow and decide, what are we going to do? Is there a way out of this? They knew what we're going to do, and they were all in one accord. It's just like, yes, King. They just went back to their roots. They do all of this, what they're about to do, out of love. And I can't, in looking this up, I came across a really great quote from Matthew Henry. He said, the cause of God needs the wrath of man. And that's true. I was talking to someone the other day about how when Sandra and I lived in Vegas, every now and then, I mean, it's food paradise. So sometimes we'd drive down the strip to find a cool restaurant, something like that. And you see those guys with the signs on the side of the road saying, God hates, fill in the blank. Or y'all are gonna burn, or the really, really angry sign. And some of the signs might not have contained anything that's scripturally accurate, but they just had put a vibe that they're angry, they're feisty, they wanna argue with it. When you walk by them, it sounds like they're picking a fight. They're trying to witness to people. And yes, the toughness of the gospel have to be put out there for sure. But in that moment, would it be right for them to be like yelling back and being disrespectful to the guy that was about to burn alive? I don't think so. I think they represented God well in that moment. They had a firm answer for them. Like, we are going to go. That's what you say. here's why, so be it. I think that's super inspiring too, right there. They believed God can save and save. And here's, Val, can you throw the verses back up? Can you start in verse 13? Two really important things here that are a big deal for me, and God had already been putting this on my heart before I even started studying this out. But look right here. Two key phrases. Here in 17, if it fit so. And Val, can you go to 18? If not.
What?
If it be so, but if not. Guys, the brave men of God are basically saying, we love God to save us. But if he doesn't, he's one. That makes me up. I want things to go my way, my trials right now. Oh, man, do I. And it's really easy to flee to the advice given online, who may be from a good place, saying, name it, and claim. I actually heard someone recently. I'm not going to say his names, and I'm not going to try to throw under the bus. That's what I'm growing to care about. But he said something, Ken, it won't be an exact quote. God gave us promises, and we got to make them fulfill. He wants us the best. We got to make it. I remember, I said, what? That doesn't. The whole prosperity, all that stuff. God's will be done. Paul sought God over the thorn. He's like, please take this away from me. God didn't take it away from one of the foremost men. Pillar of the faith. He didn't take it away. Is he a jerk? No. God knows best. Until you get to that point as ever, where you could, God, I really this happened. This is killing me. I want my kid to come back to me. Your will be done. That doesn't come with roots that go deep. It doesn't. That blows me away. It could probably see furnace right over there. I say, but if not, man. Wow. That's something. That is trust in God. Right there. Man. I might move these guys up in my rank. People I want to hug when I get to heaven. Enoch's first. I want that guy's ear. I would love to know more about what they were feeling in this situation. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, I will fall. That's in the Bible. So God goes out to you. If your trial right now, and you want it to end. You want it to stop. You want the best for your kid. You want the best for your finances. Yes, I will pray that for you as well. But I've been throwing it in my plate lately. But God, you know best. So it's not your answer for me. Give me the strength to handle what you got come down. That's tough. Oh man, I'm running out of time. But they will not back. For sake of time, I'm just gonna kind of speed up here. In verse 19, we're really angry Nebuchadnezzar. I'm convinced. Some of the most angry anti-God people actually do believe in God, or they're wrestling with the issue big time, and they're in a personal that they don't want anyone to know about. The people that I think really don't believe are people that are like, oh, wow, you believe in that God thing? Huh. Yeah, I don't, but don't force it on me. Not me, man. But they don't get a rise out of them. Those are legit the atheists. But the people that are like, at you, that beef with God. And as jerky as they may be coming off to you, don't cut them out of your life. You may have to keep this, but I think close. I think they're closer to the guy that's. That's just me. And when you get to the next chapter, you can see that God was working on Ezra's heart. I mean, that whole thing where he was like animal for 7 years or whatever that was. That's, I mean, he was working on him in a very bizarre way, but he got him. Let's turn to God before we turn to like a raccoon. Yeah, like or something, or an opossum. Let's verses 20 to 23. I think it's cool that in his anger and his fury, this shows the stupidity of the world. In his anger and his stupidity and fury, Nebuchadnezzar grabbed his mightiest men. They said, you guys, it would scare them more. I'm going to get the toughest beefcakes to drag you over, throw you into the thing, the toughest warriors. What happens to them? Slain. Toast. Here's the thing. When you're in the midst of trial and it's getting worse and it's about to get worse, it's about worse, it's about to get worse, worse. You see it coming. I can't stop this. God, this is up to you. Another good reason to be tight with God, in that moment, if I was Meshach and I was walking in, about to throw me in, and I look to my right and I see one of the toughest dudes in Babylon fall. Right before I go in, I'm saying to myself, I didn't. But if you're not tight with Christ, you might miss that. You might miss that little nugget he's throwing at you right before. It's like him saying, I got it. That's pretty powerful, right? I mean, the guys that are throwing to get dead, they're not dead. Those guys are dead. That's just a little shadowing. And if I was Nebuchadnezzar, I would be like, right in this moment, like, what is going on? He's about to get his socks blown off. Verses 24 to 25. Oh, man. Jesus is with us in the very furnaces of life. Isn't that awesome? When they get to the worst part of the whole thing, they're tossed right into the furnace, literally. Jesus is there. And some scholars debate, was that an angel? Was that Jesus? Either way, Jesus is with you in the very furnaces of life. At the hottest point, the miracle shows up. And whether that happens to you, or you maybe be saying, Where is he? He's there with you. Even when nothing, you maybe look for a miracle or a special word or something like that. If all you have left to get you a tough time is the word of God, you're good. Good. God has left us that. People are watching. Seeing these verses, is that people are watching. When fiery furnace, people are watching. I know you're like, Dave, isn't there, what? I got to carry that right around too? And it's just the way it is. If we can get to the point where we handle trials, being in furnace the way Jesus wants us to handle them, we're going to change people's lives. Because that uncle or that coworker that's driving you bonkers is like, I know she's in it now, but look, what? She's not freaking out. That's a powerful testimony. Hebrews 12:1, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Paraphrase. We represent Jesus. 26:6, really quick. To me, that's one of the cool moments in the Bible. Coolest moments in the Bible. So Nebuchadnezzar comes over. He calls them out. He's blown away. He's honest. He's like, what's going on? He checks with his advisors. What is the fourth guy in there? They're not dead. They're walking around. What's happening here? So he calls them out. And I could just that, you know, Jesus there with them saying, all right, guys, come out. It's been great hanging out with you. But when you walk out of here, I'm going to look like the coolest dudes on the face of the earth. Imagine, like, this is the way my mind works. Like Nebuchadnezzar calls them out. They hear it. They say goodbye. Maybe they hug. You know, it's that. And then as they walk out of the furnace, you can see it like slow down in slow motion. They walk out the cool soundtrack behind them. Their clothes are fine. They're walking out looking at the tough guys, like, you know, and they're just like, yeah, and see it with the, you know, can you see it? They're not singed. They're still upright. They still got, I mean, nothing is wrong. Wouldn't you feel like that is amazing. Cool. And inspiring too. But when they get out, notice who I do want to touch on this. Who gathers around them? The kings, the princes, the governors, captains, the king's counselors. They gathered together. Nebuchadnezzar's there. All the tough guys, all the good power, they're there. They're there to see these guys come out and talk to them about what just happened. So when we're in a trial, or in a furnace, when it's hot, not only is Jesus going to be there to help us, people are watching us, yes. Yeah. How we handle that is a big deal. Here's a cool thing. You may say, why am I going through this? Why did God let this happen to me? You know, I've said those things for sure. When these guys got out, some of the most powerful men in the country were there to testify about what just happened. When you come out of the trial, when God inevitably brings you out of it, there's going to be people that you're going to be able to talk to encourage. Generally speaking, sure. But have you ever been in that situation where either you needed counsel or you were there to give counsel, and you could look somebody in the eyeballs and say, hey, man, the same thing happened to me. You see that person go, it's almost like, yeah, what you had to say before important, but you've been there, man. I think that's why there's such a camaraderie, like in the military and stuff like that. You've been there. You know what I've been through. God may have allowed you to go through something specific, maybe wacky. I mean, there's a lot of wild to go through out there. But then you get out, yada yada, you might just one day you meet someone at work, find out what they went through that. So did I do lunch. Right, perfect way to minister. It's tough. I mean, even right now, some of the ways that I know I can specifically minister to people because of the things I've gone through, I'm thankful for that. Honestly, I wouldn't want to go through it again. But now that I'm back out, I say to God, thank you for hooking me up with these guys who've gone through this or whatever it is. So I talk to them, and I can resonate with where they're in. God uses trials to change lives. Yours, for sure. Those around you. The last super hard challenge, trial. And again, if you're in one right now, you're like, oh man, what? And there's another one. Another thing that Jesus is calling me to when I'm going through it. Yeah, and here's the mind too. I mean, I've wrestled with this. You're going through a trial that God allowed to happen. It passed by his throne. Satan went. And was like, can I do this? This is Job. For me, and I've had to just get to the point where I'm like, all right, Jesus, I've achieved my salvation. I got to trust you with this. You try to go down that bunny, you will come out cuckoo for cocoa puffs. I mean, that is a deep one. That is a deep one. You reach that point where you can just play that cheesy you game, and stand up there, turn around, and everyone's running around behind you like. Catch you, and you're like, fall backwards. That's what you got to do with God on that one. For sure you do. God can use what you went through to change other people's lives, not just yours, for the better too. And if you keep that in mind as you're going through it, as you're suffering and you're struggling, you're like, oh my goodness. And then one day, that crazy uncle pops into your head, you're like, but Uncle Frank's watching. Can't give in. One of the toughest trials of my life was in Vegas. And we'll not go into details. But one of the, I mean, Vegas. For those of you who know testimony, blackjack, and all that stuff, if you don't, I can explain it another time. You might be like, what? I was in Sin City. Sin City. I knew where to get into trouble. I knew it. Because I played there many times. You go into a casino, and there's like what you see. And there's the behind the curtain, what you can see. There I was just going through one of the toughest trials of my life. And in the worst moments, when I was like, I can't do it anymore. I would see a sea of eyeballs staring back at me, and they were my kids at school. Who I was teaching every day. And I would just hear that. I would be like, Tave, don't give up. They're watching you. And it wasn't a thing for me. It was an inspiration, like, yes, I can't do it for me. I can do it for them. Oh, that was powerful. So when you're hurting, you're at your lowest low, know that you don't love you. I'm sorry about the mush. I can't help it. It's in my juice. One of you guys gave this mushy juice. No. somebody's watching you. And you may not know it for decades, but somebody's watching you. And thank God it has showed me that my kids were. Like my kids. They were watching. And I'm so glad back now. I didn't bail. It's not like I ever thought about bailing, but just blowing some steam. I'm glad I didn't do it. And in the final two verse, you argue that Nebuchadnezzar moves closer to God, a whole cutting people up and you know down their house. It's a little over the top. But again, in the next year, you're gonna see that I'm pretty sure God gets Nebuchadnezzar where he needs to be. And this is his part of that journey. So if there's someone in your life you're praying for, there's steps to that. And that's encouraging. And then the thing's a little weird. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. And he's like, I don't know. I get a kick out of the last verse here. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go in the province of the Lord. So after all that, okay, he's praising, like, your God got you out of this amazing thing. I'm sure these guys were super, super fired up. And then I picture him like pulling them aside. Like, come here, putting them his arm around him like, oh, by the way, I'm gonna give you a raise. And if I was one of the guys, I would have been like, that's cool. You know, I get a new raise, I get a new house, but this guy just tried to burn me alive. Like, I would have had a hard time pressing that or getting comfortable with that. I don't know. That's just the way my mind works, but that's hard to process. In closing, Scripture tells us I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When she comes to shove, do you believe Jesus is with you through thick and thin? Because for me, it took many years to get to the point where when something bad happened to me, first reaction to God wasn't anger. Wasn't, why? Throwing a pity party. Go getting a six-pack of Mountain Dew and just wallowing in it. You know? Like, that was even coming out when got me back around in 09, I had to shake those habits. Like the analogy I love to use, life was a garden. I sowed a horrible seed in it for a while. And one of the first things God asked me to do when back looking in the garden back in 09 when God got me back on track was, see, that's how you handle trial. Like right off the bat, this is what you do. You got to get those weeds out. Those weeds are hard to get out. But one of the reasons they were hard to get out is just because for some reason, this is the same God that I trusted in for salvation day after day after day after day after day after day. When problems has happened, all of a sudden I was like, he doesn't love me. No, it's not what the Bible says. Not only does he love me, he paid for my sins, I'm covered, but he will leave me nor forsake me. You got to carry that with the next time you're standing in there like those three guys. There's the furnace you can feed. You can feel on you. You have to say to yourself, he will never leave me nor forsake me. Because I'm telling you right now, from a guy who's been in that situation many times, who doubted that how you move from there and you handle your trial, a big, big deal. There's a domino effect to that. But you may say right now, I don't know if I can handle it. But true, God has asked us to handle trial in a way that pleases him. But if you do handle trial well, oh goodness. And speaking from experience, because Jesus has done for me in this area, the fruit that comes out of that is humongous. It's a mind blower. But God be letting you go through a trial now. Because someone you love over here is going to watch you. And 20 years from now, in their life, it's going down the toilet. You're going to say, but Dad did it, by. We're planting seeds as believers. Sometimes tough. But that attitude right there that God has given me, that thought, has changes the way I approach trials. And I still struggle, but I'm carrying it with me. Where's that mirror? I need to look at myself right now. And I hope in the few I'm dealing with right now, some of you know about, and after those are longer, and another one comes my way. I really hope, God willing, that he gives me the strength to handle my trials like guys did. Shadrach, Shack, Abednego. People we're going to meet one day. Read over Daniel 3 tonight or sometime this week. Inspire you. It'll fire you up for sure. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you love us so much. You're in full control. Help us, help each of us to trust you with everything God. I pray you help us not only to trust you, but give us the strength, give the ability to do that. Holy Spirit, please fill us. Give us the strength to trust in you no matter what's going on. To handle all those things that come at us when it's a trial. The pain, the people looking at us, what am I going to do? You are there for us. You said you would never leave us or forsake us. You were there for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're there for us right now. Lord, I pray for anyone right now who's in a furnace. Just doesn't know if they can hang on another day. I pray you'll show them that you're there. I pray that someone will reach out to them and be there. And Lord, I throw this out to anyone struggling right now. They could come talk to me as well. Let's lunch. As believers, let's be there for each other. Help us, Lord. Help us to really realize our golf game isn't as important. Our lawn, whatever it's being about your business is way more important than anything else. Lord Jesus, give us the strength to suffer well. In your name I pray. Amen.